Am I on? Brilliant. How are we doing, folks? Doing okay out there? Good. I've got a cold today. Has anybody else got a cold? Anybody out here? A bit of empathy here. Anyone else got a cold out there? Yeah, somewhere you have now. Yeah, there could be a few sneezes and coughs and snivels. You know how it is when you're full of cold? You're a bit spaced out. Do you know that one? All just spaced out sometimes, but was that a thing? When you got a cold, you're spaced out, and you could almost say anything. Do you know what I mean? You're just a bit out of it. So apologies in advance if anything untoward comes out. Despite having a cold, I'm really excited. We're in the middle of our as Hannah said, middle of our vision and our giving, three sermon series. I think about our vision that God's calling us to for 2020. I think it's an interesting time because, in many sense, God will have different things for each one of us. There's stuff going on in all of our lives, aren't there? And in no ways is this, when we talk about the vision as a church, what we're really focusing on is the things that God's calling us to do together. Yeah, does that make sense? So there's all sorts of stuff that's going on in our lives individually, and that's good and that's wonderful. So let's affirm that, and don't feel in any way I'm sort of undermining all the different things that we're doing. But there's some sense in which, as a church, we can only do so much, and so we're trying to discern as we look back over the last few years at the things God's been doing amongst us, and as we look ahead, we're trying to discern what are the main things, God, that you're calling us to focus on. Does that make sense? Come on, great. And there might be, as is normally the time at this time of year, we have a little vision booklet, 2020 vision, helping us see clearly for 2020, for the year ahead, 2020 vision booklet. That's coming out in a bit. We're going to have a chance to look at that. But anyway, last week we focused in on, in fact, we could have the slide. There it is, pass on the baton. So it's a bit of a doubleheader, this one. Last week we focused on one of the verses that we just read, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Should we just remind ourselves of that verse? You might want to skim down if your Bible's open in front of you that Anna read. Verse 2 of chapter 2, and Paul writes to Timothy. He says, "And the things you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." And we said, didn't we, last week, there's a sense here in this verse of handing on the baton. It's a little bit like the 4x100 meters relay, of which we've got a little picture as well. It's handing on the baton. It's a little bit like the relay. Who's around last week? Yeah, most of us. Well, in fact, you know what? I've actually got, Hannah, you might have. I've got them. These things. So we're going to find out now. Who wasn't around last Sunday? Hey, Hannah, do you want to pass those around to anyone who wasn't around last Sunday? Let's make a little note as you're giving out. Who wasn't here last Sunday as well. It's good to know. We can follow that up with a little pastoral chat at some point. So stick these on your fridge. Stick them in your Bible. This is a little verse for us for the year ahead. God's called to hand on the baton. And if it wasn't clear from that text, there's actually sort of four generations. There's four players, if you like, handing on the baton. You've got Paul. Handing on things to Timothy. Paul saying, "The things you heard me say." Paul is handing on the baton to Timothy. And he's saying, "Timothy, entrust these things to reliable people who'll be able to hand them on to others." In that one verse, four generations right there. Paul, Timothy, reliable people, handing on to others. God calls us to hand on the baton of faith. To those who come after us. And in many ways, it's a little snapshot, I think, of the Great Commission. You know that bit at the end of Matthew's Gospel where Jesus, before he ascends into heaven, his final commission, if you like, to his disciples. And in many ways, it's a commission that we say runs out to all of the followers of Jesus, where Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go. Go and make disciples of all nations." Every Christian person, in a sense, has been called to make disciples of others, to hand on the baton of faith. It's a calling that we all share. But if you're anything like me, the busyness of life can sometimes crowd that out. We're not always as intentional as we might be about handing on the baton. And so hopefully last week, this week, and next week, there's a sense in which we're saying at the start of the year, how can we be baton passers in 2020? What does that look like for us individually? What does that look like for a church, us as a church? And as we said last week, we've got a particular focus this year, reaching out, handing on the baton to the next generation. We've got we looked at this this graph last week, didn't we? I'm not going to break it down again in a huge amount of detail, but what you've got there is you've got the sort of church attendance as a percentage of the population for different age groups. And if older people, if you're between 76 and 85, there's a 4.9%. I think it's Anglican view of the world. There's a 4.9% if you're age, anyone out there aged between 76 and 85? I caught eye contact with Beach. Beach, you're not over 76. I know that. I don't think there's anyone here over 76. There's a 4.9% chance you'll be in church. But if you're between 18 and 24... there's a 0.6% chance. And something like, there's something like 70,000 students, just to give an example, 70,000 students in our city, and less than 1% of those students, well, the stats are 0.6%, but less than 1% of those students are in church on a Sunday. Isn't that sad? Isn't that really sad? And isn't it really troubling when we think about, you know, the generations to come? You know, behind the numbers, you know, it's people's lives, people missing out on the goodness, the grace of God, the things that many of us just take for granted. But you get up in the morning, there's a sense of, Lord, you're in this with me. So many people living without that sense, that reassurance, that sense of God's presence. And so I'm longing, hopefully we're longing as a church, to see some of that put right, to hand the baton on better. Wouldn't it be great if our generation could be great baton passers to the next? That the kids in our schools, you know, students going to university, have a great chance, for those who want to hear the Christian faith and to respond. That's what we're thinking about, longing for, I suppose. Think about putting good foundations down in 2020. Just to give you a little example, a little word of encouragement. So Becky Courtney, Becky and John, and some of the students who'd be going into St. Hilda's last term, started going in last term, they went in at the start of term. They did these big assemblies. They had, I think, 750 donuts giving out to students that lunchtime. There was a very large box of frozen donuts on one particular week, and it was all a bit of a calamity, but we got those donuts out to the kids. We did it. And off the back of that, they've been running a lunchtime, looking at some of the alpha material through lunchtimes. And then this term, they're keeping doing the assemblies and the lunchtime stuff. But for those kids who want to take the next step, they're running an after-school club, doing alpha and digging in a bit more to what God has for them. Really exciting, sort of building these pathways, if you like, within the rhythms of the school life, so that students can hear about Jesus, respond to Jesus, find out more. Really exciting. And just what an encouragement it was. The first week of term, they went back in this week, and they found out that I think four of the students who they'd got to know last term, just off their own back, had started a prayer meeting on a Monday morning. Isn't that just so cool? You know, and these kids are on fire. They're like, we're gonna change the school with this prayer meeting. I mean, come on, just handing on the baton of faith. Right there. So encouragement. We're asking God for more of that. We're asking God, I mean, the diocese in many ways is asking St. James to take a lead on trying to build some of these stronger foundations for young people in our city. And that's really exciting. So we're going to be looking at the vision booklet and thinking a bit about the shapes that will take in the year ahead. Now, I don't know about you, but does anyone here make New Year resolutions? Is that a thing? New Year's resolution? That's a thing. Evelyn, you made a New Year's resolution? One, two, loads? Okay, come on. New Year, new Evelyn. Is anybody else into New Year's resolutions? Anyone else? Nathan, you're New Year? Not really, no. I must confess, I've kind of given up a little bit on New Year's resolutions. Is this a bit jaded? I don't know. But it's a bit like, you know, you've done a few and then, you know, you get to sort of March, April, and all that initial enthusiasm, you know, maybe has sort of kind of plateaued or even dipped a little bit. So I'm not entirely convinced. We all read different things into this. But for me, I'm not much of a New Year's resolutions person. However, having said that, I think the sort of Christmas period and the start of a new year is a great time to be asking God afresh. Well, Lord, what have you got for me in the year ahead? And I remember I had quite a significant moment this time last year when I was sort of praying over the Christmas period. And I felt God gave me a word. And he gave me the word pursue. And I remember Olwen was preaching at the back end of the autumn. And the word pursue kind of came up in the sermon. And I think it was just a throwaway line from her. But anyway, for me, it stuck. And then as kind of Christmas went over, I just kept, wherever I kept turning, I kept this word pursue just kept coming out. I was like, Lord, what does this mean? Well, how am I supposed to make sense of this? And then I kind of had this revelation really at the start of the year. That actually, for the year ahead, so this was Christmas last year, so for 2019, I felt the Lord was saying to me, actually, Jude, pursue me. Jude, if you want, you know, the best for 2019, you need to be really seeking me out, you know, in times of worship and prayer, more than just going through the motions, really pursuing me in this year, if you're going to step into the fullness of what I've got for you. And if I'm honest with you, I look back on 2019, I've got so much to thank God for in 2019. And I can, as I sort of analyze it a bit in my own mind, I can see a real connection between, you know what I mean, those moments of pursuing God, those moments of choosing to seek God out, to stand on his promises and press into him. Actually, so much of the goodness of last year for me is linked. I can see it. It's linked in with those moments of pursuing God. I thank God for that. So be listening out. You know, I think now is a good time. So, you know, amidst the busyness, we sort of slow down, we look ahead, we ask that question, Lord, what are you doing? And I felt God's given me another word this year. I don't know quite when it first sort of landed for me, but I've been sort of stewing on it all over Christmas. And it's a strange word. And it's the word with. The word with. It's a bit cryptic, isn't it? It's the word with. Lord, what's that all about? Where does that come from? And as I've been stewing on it, getting this sense, actually, that for 2020, one of the things God's calling me to do is more and more the things that I'm doing, I need to be seeking out ways of doing those things with other people. But actually, it's not just Jude, what are you doing in 2020? But it's Jude, what are you doing with other people? How are you doing things with others? And I just have a feeling, this might be a bit of a word for us as a church. I mean, you just need to weigh this for yourselves. But it might be a bit of a word for us as a church. Because I must say, it's come up quite a bit as we've reflected as a staff on the year ahead and the things God's got for us. And yet again, I think, as I've looked at this, as I've been reading over 2 Timothy, thinking a bit about these the preachers for this today and last week, this sense of with has kind of come to the foreground. Again, let me give you some examples. So, again, just glancing at our text from 2 Timothy, it's really clear, I think, that Paul and Timothy have done loads of stuff with each other. They've gone on these missionary journeys, they've planted churches, they've been doing evangelism, doing life with each other. They're obviously not together in the same place at this time. Paul is writing to Timothy. But you get some wonderful little sort of echoes or snippets of their relationship together. So chapter 1, verse 4, Paul writes, he says, recalling your tears, so at the point of separation, Timothy's tears when they separated and went separate ways. Paul says, I long to see you. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. They've done so much with each other, and this great friendship has sort of grown up out of doing these significant things with each other. There's this prayerful bond for each other. Verse 3. Paul writes, I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. There's a prayerful bond between the two of them. It's affection, this prayerful bond. And Timothy is tasked in the letter with helping Paul out, at the end of the letter, chapter 4, verse 9, Paul writes, do your best to come to me quickly. Come to me quickly, he says. And then verse 13, when you come, bring the cloak, bring my scrolls, especially the parchments. They work with each other in all sorts of ways. And even in the little snippet of text that we read, we had these sort of slightly strange examples, didn't we, of that Paul gives of the soldier and the athlete and the farmer. Soldier, athlete, and farmer. A sense of people working in community with each other, being part of something bigger. The soldiers, Paul says, are meant to be focused on the job and focused on their commanding officer. They're part of something bigger working together. The athletes have to work within the rules that are set. They need to find the right pathways to success. And the farmers, they get to receive some of the fruit of their labor. They're actually producing most of the produce for others, people within the community, but they get to receive some too. It's their sense of their role within the wider community. They're all part of something bigger, working with each other to achieve something amazing. So we're meant to do things with each other. I thought just to bring this to light a little bit. Maybe we could illustrate this somehow. Andy, maybe you could pop out, just give me a hand or something here. Andy, as I came in today, I just noticed, I don't quite know how it got up there, but there's a really fine looking sort of medal up there, just hanging up there. And you're a pretty athletic chap. Would you mind just jumping up and getting that? Would that be all right? I mean, it's quite a prize up there. Just loosen up a little bit and you give it the full on. Take those shoes off. Give it the full on leap. Full on leap. Full on leap. Come on, yeah, come on. Hey! Woo! That wasn't bad. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. But you didn't reach it. I wonder, could anyone help Andy out here? Could we get some other folks just to come? I'm pretty sure there's some. Yes. It's just so interesting that you just volunteered like that to come and help. It's almost like it was prearranged. It's extraordinary. Wonderful. And let's just, as they're setting up here, let's imagine that this trophy is the prize. And we can sort of load anything onto that, but let's imagine that's the prize of handing on the baton to the next generation in our city. So, guys, this is just be careful here. Kath, if you need to do anything here, just to keep this safe, we can do this. Henry, you need to take a lead here, brother. So, this is fantastic. So the prize, we're reaching for the prize of handing the baton on to the next generation. And guess what? Andy can't do it. You want to just grab his hand there. Andy can't do it all by himself. You know, as we get into ministry, we're going to need, this is a Kath, awesome. We're going to need people to, this is wonderful. Andy, check you out. Oh my gosh. Yeah. There you are. Should we try the other end? You could yank the other end. It might work. Yeah. Woo. Look at that. Guys. Awesome. Wow, that was fantastic. And look at that. Liverpool Marathon 2012. There must be a fine athlete. Got that medal from a few years ago. It's wonderful. So, so, I mean, it's a bit... Thank you. Should we give him a clap? That was rather good, wasn't it? Woo. So as we go on as a church to hand the baton on to the next generation after us, it's clear, isn't it? We can have a few experts who could try and sort of reach for the prize on their own. But obviously, that is not going to work. Actually, it takes a whole church to disciple young people, whether that's helping out in the groups that go into a school during the week, or whether it's hosting folks for lunch, or helping with the kids' work on a Sunday, helping with our youth work on a Thursday night, or the burn service on a Sunday. Whatever, you know, there's all sorts of different ways that ministry takes shape. But actually, it only takes shape as we work with each other together. Yeah? And don't misunderstand me, this isn't like a let's all immediately sign up for the youth ministry at St. James. In some ways, that's not the fundamental point. The point is, if we're going to do anything, well, Becky would love you to serve, to sign up for the youth ministry. Becky, John, yes, always looking for volunteers. But if we're going to do anything as a church together, yeah, anything, it's about how we do it with one another. And I think back, and I think about the, you know, going back to that statistic that, you know, 0.6% of 18 to 24-year-olds that bracket are in church on a Sunday. It's so sad that something like 70% of 18-year-olds who are going to church regularly when they rock up at university, 70% stop going to church. Isn't that so sad? That actually during that pivotal time of life, there is a real absence of Christian community, often for Christians in that season. And I don't know about you, but I just love, when I think back on the last few years, and if you don't know the story of St. James, 10 years ago, there basically wasn't a church here. And it's just, you know, God's grown something out of nothing, in a sense here. But, you know, if you've given financially to this church over the last few years, if you've helped with student mentoring or student lunches, or you've helped make the Monday nights work with food, you've been sowing into the next generation. I don't know. I think it's a great feeling to sow into the next generation. Do you know what I mean? You know, I might not. Yeah, there's all sorts of limitations in my own life that I know about. But if I'm sowing into the next generation, praise God. Do you know what I mean? Anything's possible if we're doing that much. If we're sowing in to the next generation. So let's think together about what that looks like. How we do that with each other in 2020. And with that in mind, we're ready, I think, for our 2020 vision booklets. Come on, it's exciting. Yes. On the back two tables, and Ed, you might want to just go in advance on this just to create some order amongst the chaos. Yes. On the back two tables, we have some envelopes. And the envelopes have all got names on. And looking around the room, I mean, you may not all find an envelope with your name on. If you're super new, you probably won't. Apologies about that. But we have some booklets. So shall we move? Let's all move now. We're going to go for it. It's going to be slightly chaotic. Go and find, how is it ordered, Ed?
A to L. If your surname is H, well, you're that size.
Right. Surnames M to Z over on this side. Surnames A to L over that side. M to Z this side. A to L that side. Come on, folks, let's do this. Let's not loiter. Let's go and find our booklets, bring them back, and we're even going to have a little look. Once you've found your envelope, do come and sit back down again. And please open your envelopes. We're going to have a little look. And just to say, if you're a new person here, I'd encourage you, go and grab a booklet. You can get a booklet. We've got enough spare copies for new people to get booklets. We'd love you to have a little look. Yes. Lydia, even for you. Feel free, open the booklets up. Let's have a little look. So inside the booklet, you should find three things. You should find three things inside the booklet. Number one, you should find a letter. And there are different types of letters. But if you're a family, if you're part of a family here at St. James, then you'll have a letter saying families on it. If you're a student here at St. James, you should have a letter saying students on it. And if you're not in a family, you're not a student, but you're just an adult person, then guess what? You'll find a letter with adults at St. James on it. You don't need to read that now, but do read that at some point. That would be super. And then you should also find in the envelopes, as well as the letter, do read the letter at some point. You don't need to read the letter now, but at some point do read it, please. You should also find in the envelope the vision booklet. And inside the vision booklet, there's a pledge form. I'll come back to that in a moment. So let's just have a quick skim through our vision booklet. Is that okay? So what we're doing, in a sense, there's a bit of waffle on the front page. Read that at your leisure. In a sense, we're looking back on 2019. That's how we start. We're looking back on 2019. And we're thanking God. We're trying to be mindful of the things that God has done amongst us as a church. And there's lots and lots of things, and they're not all on the list. Now, apologies if you can think of something that doesn't get a mention. But we start off there with the list of things that we had in our vision booklet back in 2019. So things like the minis congregation starting, the brewery student congregation, wherever John has gone, the time away at Quinta, money for the church plant, Ordinans joining the church, the marriage course, raising the tent. These were all things that we just felt God was calling us to as a church a year ago. None of them were possible without our together, our financial giving, and a sense of people joining in and participating and getting behind that vision, locating themselves within that vision. But we thank God that all of those things have been really fruitful in the last 12 months. So we look back and we thank God. We say, Lord, you've been at work amongst us, done some great things. We celebrate that. As the booklet progresses, you get some more of the sort of the normal church stuff. So some of the work that Ed's been doing around connect groups. We now have, how many connect groups have we got now, Ed?
Six
connect groups being during the week, and that's on top of the student group that meets and the families group that meets as well. So lots of different groups that are meeting during the week. We love you, if you're not part of a connect group, to be part of a connect group. Ed's sort of spelling out the vision there. We're thanking God for the families work that Becky and team have been leading, how we've really grown some of the families ministries that are happening, invitational connecting with families beyond the life of the church. That's been super. And some of the stuff that's been going on amongst the students. And then a whole list of significant events, from people getting married to student weekends away where people don't injure themselves too much. Just a minor injury this year. I mean, there's a book that came out apparently. You know, a few things to sort of just pick up on there. So that's the looking back. That's the celebrating the things that God has been doing over the last 12 months. And then what we're doing, then what the book goes on to is it looks ahead to 2020. And in a sense, everything we're doing, in a sense, at St. James is just going to continue going. So all the connect groups, the different ministries that are happening, all the student work, all of that continues to grow, and we're expecting all of that to continue to grow in the year ahead. But wanting to draw attention to some particular areas that, and again, if you don't know this, we do a sort of budget review. We look at our finances. We're into careful stewardship at St. James. We get a sense of what's happening with our finances as a church. What can we afford in the year ahead? We're prayerful about that. The PCC, other leaders across the church are involved in that process. And we get a sense of, Lord, what are you leading us into? And what is realistic for us to afford in the year ahead? So we'd love to multiply some of the work we're doing with the families. We're making some great inroads into families beyond the life of the church. Folks for whom being part of a Christian community can make a real difference. So we want to invest in that area. That's got a particular cost associated. We want to extend the schools work that we're doing. We're going to be partnering with the diocese and probably appointing a couple of schools workers over the summer. That's another story. Ask me about that if you'd like to. But that's not, won't be funded with money from St. James's, but we're getting a grant or looking to get a grant from elsewhere. But we are multiplying, extending the work we're doing. That's got a cost associated with it. We'd love the whole church to go to New Wine. So we're going to end up having to hire buses, and there'll be bursaries for people for whom it's financially challenging. That's got a cost associated with it. Continuing the Alpha courses, raising the bar there, as well as just inflationary increases. So we've sat down, we've worked it all out, and to sort of, under God, to step into these different areas of ministry in the year ahead, we're going to need at least 9,500 of additional giving in the year ahead. And hopefully for all of us, Ed's going to talk much more about this next week, but, you know, as well as just asking God afresh, you know, Lord, how can I serve you? What are the priorities you're putting in front of me this year? At the start of the year is a great time just to review our financial giving. You know, how can I be a good steward with the money that you've given me? How can I be generous with what you've put in my hands? How can I sow into the vision ahead? And so we're thinking about that next week. And really the opportunity there is to, as we review our giving, we'll have a chance to fill out these pledge forms. If you've reviewed your giving already, and I know some of you, a few folks in the community will review their giving naturally over Christmas and stuff. So if you've done that already, feel free to fill the form out around what's happening with your giving. Some people will be giving more. Some people will be giving the same amount. Some people, if there's been a change of circumstances, will be giving less. That's fine. But it's just working out under God what is right for the year ahead. But it's a chance to just make a marker about that, almost make a commitment for the year ahead financially. And as well, there's more information about getting involved in other forms of ministry. So if you're in a position to fill that form out today, do fill it out, pop it in the box at the back. I suspect most of us will want to take that away. Ed will be speaking next week on financial stewardship. And really the next month or so is a chance for us to pray, to talk to one another, ask questions, to fill the forms out. And hopefully, by the end of February, we'll be in a position where we can say, Lord, we can move forward with the plans in a way that's where we're confident, actually, that we're able financially to do the things that we believe, Lord, you're calling us to do. Does that make sense? That's where we're going with that. Brilliant. And as I say, come and ask me, Ed, any questions about all that. And as the hello, Percy. Nice to see you. It's an exciting time. I think it's a significant moment, the start of the year, as we look ahead. Is that okay? Band, if you want to come up, that'd be super. That'd be great. I would love to give us a bit of space just to sort of reflect, really, on what I've been saying, some sense of what God has been saying as I've been talking, how we might be responding to this vision. I love those words at the end of the section that we read. Verse 7, Paul writes to Timothy, reflect on what I am saying. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Reflect on what I'm saying. I think you're a great person. Thank you very much. Shall I take that? Baz, thank you. Ed, I might give that to you if it's okay. Thank you. Come on. For the next generation, Lord, lead us. I don't know about you, but I think in these moments, we do this every year. At the start of the year, there's been hopefully this prayerful thought around where we're headed. We talk together as a community, and we think about the implications in terms of our time, our skills that God's given us, the financial stewardship, and all the rest of it. And I don't know about you, but I think the worst of this is that we can feel a bit sort of, we're already life is busy. And it's, these things can feel like another thing. Do you know what I mean? That's the worst of it. And as we were praying at the start of the service, Lucy shared this great picture that she had. And it was just this sense of like, sometimes we can just feel a bit weighed down by stuff. But actually, if we just lift our eyes, we see the bigger picture, the bigger horizon within which we're moving and living. And I think a great question to ask ourselves is, if we look ahead, the horizon of our hearts and our minds, if we look ahead, what do we really want for our lives? When the day is done, what story do we want to write? What story do we want to be part of? What has God put in our hearts already? Do you know what I mean? What things do we long to see changed and different? As we look at the city around us, what areas do we want to see more of Jesus, more of life? If we allow ourselves for a moment just to stop, to dream afresh a bit, to ask that question, what are we longing for? What's God put in our hearts? And also, what's God put in our hands? For those of us, sorry, Lois, I might embarrass you now. For those of us who know Lois, Lois did not really want to lead worship. Not just today. No, you did want to lead. But going back a year and a half ago, Lois was not really into upfront worship leading. And God has just pulled Lois like further and further into leading worship. It's just been great to see. And actually, for many of us, if we allow ourselves, there's more. God's put things in our hands. We might not even realize it. But there's stuff there, opportunity, things God's given us to use, to pass the baton on. So the band are just going to play, and let's just give this time to God. Let's maybe ask that question in our own minds. What's God put in my heart? What's God put in my hands? What could it look like this year to hand the baton on to others? How can I do that with others? Not just what I can do, Lord, but how do I do it with others? Should we just sit with those questions for a minute as the band plays, and we'll have a chance to join in.